Okay, good evening, everybody. I'm Lorraine Silva, and I'm the acting chair until we have our elections later on. Welcome to the first RAC meeting of 2013. Happy New Year to everybody. Our first, I would like to first do the a roll call. We have quorum. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to guys, Ben, that's a little bit, Candace. Yeah, okay. Let's start with a public comment period. Is anybody signed up for a public?
We've got three people signed up. The first person is Chris Barnes.
Okay. Just a reminder that we have 2 minutes each, as indicated by John's nice clock over there. And you will hear a tone when you have 15 seconds to go to remind you to wrap up.
Hey, John, this clock over here isn't working. There it goes. Okay. Oh, I've already started. I got to go. Good evening. My name is Chris Barnes. I'm also known as Fix WMATA. Most of you already knew that, but I wanted to introduce myself to all the new folks in the room and say that I'm hopeful this council will make great strides this year, and if there are any ways I can provide assistance, I'm more than happy to help. Last year, I mentioned how your participation on Twitter would be welcome. There's a very enthusiastic, passionate, and informative WMATA conversation happening on Twitter every day, and I can't think of an easier way for you to get in touch with the writers you represent than this free platform. Heck, you can do it in your pajamas. I've started keeping a list of RAC members on Twitter. So far, I've only identified four of you out of the 21, and I only see one, which is Carl, who is actively participating in the WMATA conversation. If there's anything I can do to help you get more involved, please let me know. Also, last year I offered my website, fixwmata.com, as a platform for each of you to introduce yourselves to the writing public you represent. Unfortunately, no one took me up on that offer, but I'm hopeful you'll reconsider this year. The WMATA website offers no way that I know of for writers to know who you are, where your passions lie, or how to get in touch with you personally. So again, I'd like to offer that. If you want to write up something and email it to me, I'd be happy to publish it. UNSUC DC Metro also, I'm sure, would be happy to publish something on your behalf. Again, I'm looking forward to another exciting year, and I hope you're all ready to face head-on some of the million challenges and frustration writers face every day and work towards solutions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barnes. Next speaker.
Kurt Rashke. Hi, my name is Kurt Rashke. I'm a transit-dependent rider of Metro. I live in Silver Spring. The London Underground, our beloved tube, turns 150 today. So I'd like to share with you some performance statistics for the four-week period ending September 15th, 2012. And I should point out, by the way, that London Underground tabulates their performance in four-week periods instead of releasing performance reports quarterly, as WMATA does. In that period of time, they carried 92.8 million passengers. On-time performance was 98.8%. There were 34 station closures in that four-week period. Escalator availability was 99.7%, and elevator availability was 99.5%. There were just 140 delays due to signal and switch failure that resulted in more than 2 minutes of train delay. There were only 35 track-related delays greater than 2 minutes in that four-week period. As we begin this year, I would ask the RAC to compare those performance figures to those of WMATA, which come out quarterly, as I said, and think about what that means for this 36-year-old system. As I said, the London Underground is 150 today, and its performance is phenomenal. Please ask yourself why it is that a 36-year-old rail system cannot even achieve its own performance goals, let alone those of a 150-year-old rail system. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our
I'm asking the RAC for 2013 to put this as one of their top two, three priorities. It's the way the Metro PD polices the stations. In my opinion, they don't, unless they're going to do those bag checks. It's pretty much the only time you see a cop, a Metro cop. If you notice the difference, if you go to the Verizon Center Chinatown area, you see cops there all the time, either walking or where the big groups usually hang out. When you go to a station, especially Lafont, Chinatown, where are the Metro PD cops? Can anyone answer that? I don't see how people are getting murdered, stabbed, robbed, committing suicide, attempting suicides. I don't see why Metro isn't responding, especially the police department. What is their standard operating procedures? Why haven't they changed any of these? The Metro is becoming more and more dangerous, not safety-wise. They're trying to address that. But I don't see or hear from Metro PD how they plan to keep the platform safe. I don't see them speaking out about hiring more cops or trying to coordinate with other jurisdictions. I understand they have three different jurisdictions, but it's ridiculous. Since I've moved to Ballston, I've seen two robberies and somebody just committed suicide. Their standing operating procedures do not work. RAC needs to put pressure on the police chief to fix this.
Good evening, and welcome to the RSC to 2013. Hopefully this year is going to go better than last year. My name is Kathy Spray. I am, I guess, dragooned and drafted disability transit advocate. I'm one of the founders of the website dcparatransit.info. We've worked for almost a decade now with WMATA on metro access and accessibility in general through the system. We would like to add our words to what Chris Barnes said earlier about offering a resource for the RAC to be able to get its message out. Although there is sometimes a disconnect between the RAC and the AAC, and things about disability, ridership tends to get considered AAC's problem or AAC's concern. We would like to make our sites and our outreach abilities available to the RAC as well, because our ridership also rides fixed route, and so it's another avenue that you can use to get your information out, and we will put that up for you. We will put anything you give us up completely unedited. You say anything you want on our site. We may criticize it, but we will put it up for you. I would like to finish by mentioning what I said about a disconnect. The AAC does what it does for the disabled community, and it does tend to sometimes be that things that are accessibility-related, disability-related, that come to the RAC get put aside to the AAC as specialists, and we understand that. But there is a meeting point on this system where disabled riders and able-bodied riders both run on the fixed-route system. The concerns that you have are the concerns that we have as well, and vice versa. I hope in 2013 that you can try to integrate more with the AAC on those matters of mutual concern, because together you can make a real difference. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we have actually one last comment for Grant W. Jenkins.
Hi, I'm Graham Jenkins. I am Metro Derp on Twitter, formerly WMATA Rage. I go back and forth between the two. Anyways, I was on the subway in New York this past weekend waiting for a one train. The next train display said 12 minutes. A next train display, which, by the way, only showed next train times. In those 12 minutes, I saw about 20 to 30 people come in, take one look, and leave the station. Everyone else on the platform was incredibly impatient. The disgust was palpable. People were tapping their feet because nobody has time to wait that long. Here in D.C., when you ride Metro, you kind of just grin and bear it, because until now we've seen no recourse. This is the closest thing we have to recourse. But let me just suffice it to say that the headways on the Washington Metro are unacceptable. They run 12 to 20 minutes on weekends when they're good. When track work's in effect, it can be 24 to 40 minutes waiting for a single train, and that's before including connection time. That is no way to live your life. Jarrett Walker has done studies on the necessity of 10 minutes or fewer headways for trains, in that people will be willing to go out the door and wait that long without having to reference it. But if you're running them less frequently than that, then you might as well put out a timetable and just call yourselves commuter rail, because that's what you've become. We have commuter rail. It's MARC and VRE. And perhaps part of the problem is we've extended too far into Virginia where VRE would suffice, and the same thing in Maryland where MARC might have done a better job. At the same time, we have a system, and if we're going to run trains on all of it, we need to make sure that people living in the core and people living anywhere on the system, especially those reliant entirely on transit, like myself, have a way to get around that's fast and frequent and safe. And safety is a whole other issue I'm not going to go into. But for the time being, running more trains would solve virtually every problem on the system. It would relieve overcrowding. It would relieve, delays are the problem. But headways are the easiest way for Metro to finally start becoming the system it could be and frankly should be. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, is that okay? We're done with the public comment period. We have, as you can see, we have a very full agenda for today. I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, we approve the agenda. Next one, we're gonna approve the past minutes. We have 5 sets of minutes. I would like to ask for a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I would like to move that the minutes be approved en blanc.
En banc. All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Okay. Somebody second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The minutes have been approved. Okay. Our next step is we're going to do our member introductions. So I would like to ask all the members to briefly introduce themselves. Let me start with myself. I'm Lorraine Silva. I have been the Virginia Vice Chair for the past year. I represent Arlington, Virginia, and I use all forms of public transit, including ART and ride-ons and, you know, the jurisdictional systems. Metro, bus, everything else. I am a transit rider by choice. So let's try to do country.
My name is Carl Seip. I've been on the rack since January 2009, so 4 years, 4 year anniversary of this meeting. I currently live in Columbia Heights after living for 3 years on Capitol Hill. So I commute on the yellow and green down to Chinatown and to my job on Capitol Hill. And big welcome to all our new members.
Good evening. My name is James Wright. I am the Maryland Vice President, well, Vice Chair. I live in Sea Pleasant, Maryland. Because I live in Sea Pleasant, I live very close to two metro stations and numerous bus routes. One of the reasons why I wanted to serve on the RAC is because the riders that ride along with me, both on Metro and on Metro bus, we need more service. We need better service. And this is why I decided to join the RAC. I've been a member of the RAC since December 2011, and I look forward to serving with all the new members.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Patricia King Adams, and I'm a relatively new RAC member, so I'm just as comfortable as you are. I have utilized all forms of Metro transportation. I go as far back with the Metro when it was green, and they had the tracks on the ground, and they took them up and they put them back. That's how far I go with Metro. I chose to join the RAC committee because I had some concerns about those individuals in the district living east of the river and in other areas that do not have access to public transportation as it should be, and as I know Metro can provide for them. I'm going to keep it short, but I welcome you, and if there's anything I can assist you with, then I'm here to work with you as a team.
Hi, I'm Middle Cruz. I'm a new member to the RAC. I'm a D.C. native. I've been riding the Metro since I was in middle school, and I took 3 buses to Hardy Middle School in Georgetown. I live in Petworth now. I decided to join the RAC because I was worried that populations like Latinos and restaurant workers weren't accurately being represented in terms of the policy choices Metro makes and in terms of the hours it keeps and service changes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Frank DiBernardo, and I live in Greenbelt, Maryland, in Prince George's County, and I commute daily to my job in Mount Rainier, Maryland, a suburb-to-suburb commute, and I take bus, train, and bus to get there. Happy to be here with all of you and look forward to a productive year.
Hi, my name is Pat Jackson, and I'm representing Fairfax County. I live in Lorton, Virginia, so I commute every morning from Franconia, Springfield, coming into to the district at McPherson Square. And then I make my trip back by leaving from Metro Center, going back to Franconia. I've been a Metro rider for more than 20 years now, and what prompted me to act was Rush Plus. Over at that Franconia Metro station, it's unbelievable. But in calling in complaints, I heard about the RAC and I said, you know what, maybe I can make a difference. So I'm happy to be here. I feel it's a privilege to be here to serve with you. And I really, my prayer is that I will represent the Fairfax folks well. So thank you, I'm glad to be here.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Alex Parkan. I was born and raised in Rockville, Maryland, and I've been taking the Red Line for as long as I can remember. Used to be to visit my grandmother downtown, and nowadays it's to go to work. I'd just like to say that I'm really happy to be here. I echo my colleagues' words in saying that it is a privilege, and I'm really happy to be here to work with all of you in the upcoming year. And a special thank you to the members of the public who've come out this evening. I think it's really important that everyone's voices be heard, and hopefully together we can make a difference and start things moving again in the right direction. So thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Clara Merrigan. As many others have said, I've also been taking Metro for quite some time. The earliest I can remember is 8. I'm representing Arlington County. I feel similarly to everyone else who spoke. We're all here for the same reasons, and I hope that we can, improve. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Barbara Hermanson. I represent Alexandria. I've lived in the area for about 11 years and been almost daily rider of one line or another. I think I've regularly, at some point, ridden every rail line there is, not every bus line, but I currently take the bus and the rail every day, and so I'm very passionate about how Metro runs. I've been here just a little over a year, and I'm just excited to see all the new faces, and I'm looking forward to some new creative ideas and enthusiasm, and welcome.
So I'm Fred Walker. I'm new. Like everyone, I ride the Metro and the bus every day. I work here in the city and live in Centerville, Virginia, and the reason I signed up for this term was to, my biggest concern is in watching what goes on that there's not enough concern about safety for both
riders and employees, and so I was hoping that's something I could help address.
Hi, my name is Karen Lynch. I am a new council member. I, like many and most of you, I also ride the rail and the bus quite often every day to commute back and forth to work. One of the reasons why I wanted to be a part of this council is because, like most of you, I want to make a difference, but also want to advocate for the riders and ensure that we have a safe and efficient transit system.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann Zimmerman, and I'm Montgomery County new person. I live in downtown Silver Spring. And so I've appreciated from December hearing from some members of the Silver Spring area and comments, and especially today on the AAC relationship, because issues of disability to me have sort of some formal ways of getting recognized. And I take both Metro and bus. I did it every day until June 30th when I retired. I now take it more sporadically. But one of the things that I have come to notice over the past year are the number of people on both buses and the rail who are disabled in various ways that are not apparent, and a lot of the difficulties in then being able to get around. That is one of the issues that I have, along with just generally needing the system for accessibility and want it to work as well as it can.
I'm Ben Ball. I represent the District of Columbia. I'm a resident of Detroit. LaDroit Park. One of those. I recently moved, so yeah, I'm still getting used to that one in my head, obviously. I'm a rail and bus rider, depending on which one comes first in the morning. I am car free and have been ever since I moved to the district permanently in 2009. I don't even have a Zipcar membership. I recently joined Car2Go, but have not used it yet. I'm here to advocate for riders, like I think everyone else is. I see it as sort of a public service, and I'm happy to be here. And great to meet all of you new members as well.
Hi, I'm Carol Carter Walker, and sitting here listening to other members, I realize that I have ridden the Metro since it opened. I'm a native Washingtonian, and I remember when the Orange Line opened when I lived over in Northeast near the Stadium Armory. I now feel like I've hit the trifecta of transportation because I live in Fort Totten, where I have access to the yellow, green, and red rail lines and a major bus transit center. And I do use Zipcar. I'm not a purist. I really want us to be able to represent riders and to do a better job at getting responses on the riders' behalf from staff and the board of WMATA. I think we've gone a long way in the past several years that I've been a member. I was appointed as the District of Columbia representative in 2008, and I now have been appointed to another two-year term as an at-large member. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge of getting to know and getting involved in more of this community of Washington, D.C.
Hello, I'm Etta Cherie Washington. I'm a native Washingtonian. I've been riding Metro since it opened. I have been on the rack about 35 minutes now. And I joined because I'm a patient navigator, and my job is to get people from point A to B in the cancer care continuum. I work with socially and economically disadvantaged women who live east of the river, and a lot of people may not know this. There's only one hospital east of the river, but if you need chemotherapy or radiation, you have to come on the other side. And so, and the number one barrier to getting care for these women is transportation. So I want to see this process streamlined, how we can make it more efficient for people getting from that side of town to this side of town. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Our Next item on the agenda is the Metro Customer Satisfaction Survey results. We have Allison Simon, Director of Customer Research, Metro. Welcome.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Allison Simon, and I'm the Director of Customer Research here at Metro. I just want to give you guys a brief introduction of myself and my department, because we are relatively new here. I was brought in about a year and a half ago, and I was asked to kind of start a customer research department to try and do a lot more of incorporation of customer ideas and customer opinions into the various programs that we have here at WMATA. So in the time that I've been here, in about a year and a half, I've run about maybe 20, 25 surveys. My most successful survey is one that I did in conjunction with Fairfax County when we helped to name the Silver Line stations. We had about 16,000 customers who responded to that survey. And as a result, actually Fairfax ended up changing some of the original names that they had thought of for the survey. So that's just one of the examples of one of the research program that I've run that has allowed us to incorporate some of the customers' ideas and opinions into actually the projects that we are undertaking here. One of the first things I did when I came here about a year and a half ago was I immediately shut down the customer satisfaction survey that was underway at the time. The reason I did that is because I was not happy with the type of questions that they were asking people. A lot of the questions had to do with, in general, tell me in general what you think about our system. And although that is somewhat interesting, it's not as informative as really drilling down to exactly what's going on today on our system. Because although it's interesting to hear your opinions about the past, today is where we are. And today is what I want to know, what's going on, what's wrong, what's right. And so I spent almost a year conducting focus groups with customers, and both on bus and rail, and putting together a whole new program that I want to present to you the results of our first quarter of data that we've collected and talk about what our customers are saying. In addition, at the very end of this survey, I'm also going to present some Metro Access results as well. I also set up a program for Metro Access customer satisfaction, and so that program's a little different. It specifically talks to Metro Access customers, and we have a database of those customers, and so we specifically go to them and ask about their experience on the Metro Access system. So for the fixed route, which is WMATA's bus and rail system, we are doing a quarterly survey of our bus and rail customers. We randomly call 400 bus and about 400 rail customers and ask them about essentially their opinions on the last bus or rail ride that they took since we called them. And the reason we're asking that is because we randomly need to, first of all, choose people. And so there's a random selection process that's done when we're phone calling people. And then we also randomly need to choose we need to make sure that when we choose people that they don't get to choose the ride that we ask them on, that we choose the ride for them. So it's kind of a double random process, actually, when we are getting information from people about their ride. So let me rephrase. It's not actually not the last ride they took. They give us specifically the last few rides, and then we randomly choose one of those for them to rate. So this survey we're calling the voice of the customer, and what I'm going to present to you is our first quarter, which for us is July 1st through September 31st, which is WMATA's first quarter as opposed to the calendar year. So some of the key findings that we had from the first quarter was that our customers overall do believe that our system is quite secure and safe. We've got some of the highest safety and security numbers in the industry. I went through and took a look at other comparable large transit industries to see what their customers said about them. And in fact, our safety and security numbers were, if not equal, then were some of the highest that I did see. Now, this doesn't take a look at like San Antonio system, which would be considered a smaller system. I compared us to the larger Chicago MTA in New York, LA, and so forth. Okay. We also had fairly high satisfaction surveys across both the bus and rail system. We had fairly high likelihood to recommend on the bus and rail system, and the question asks, how likely would you be to recommend the system to a friend or family member? And likely to recommend is well known in the industry as a proxy for loyalty. So how kind of loyal are you to our system? And then finally, overall, our customers are quite happy with the trip planning tools that we have offered to them, which include the website. People were very happy with being able to, the ride guide, for example, being able to put in, you know, where they want to go and being given instruction on that. We had very high numbers among the call center for those respondents who did actually call the call center to get information. They scored that very high. And then overall, they were fairly pleased with the maps that we've designed as well. So those are some of the kind of the key findings that I want to start us off with. And from there, I want to go into specific findings for both the bus and the rail system, and I want to start with the bus system. So what I was asked to do by the general manager was to put an index together. Because you can take a look at one number here or there, but it's really when you start compiling a couple of the numbers together that you kind of get a feel for exactly what's going on in the system. And so the three items that I combined together in order to create an index is satisfaction with the ride, and that would be, again, the latest, the ride that we randomly chose, the reliability of that bus, and then the likeliness to recommend that I talked about before. And you can see overall, satisfaction is fairly high, reliability is fairly high, and likeliness to recommend is at 79%. And all these three numbers, when you compare them to the industry, the other large transit properties, are actually very strong numbers. So overall, our bus services actually scores fairly well compared to other bus transit, large transit properties. There are a few demographic differences of note that I want to point out. The first is that reliability with younger folks, which are those under the age of 35, they actually report significantly lower levels of reliability. In addition, our commuters, we took a look at those who are regular commuters on our bus system versus those who are non-commuters, and commuters are significantly more likely to recommend our system to a friend or a family member than our non-commuters are. So the commuter is much more pleased with our system overall on bus than the non-commuters are. And then finally, our Hispanic customers are also significantly more likely to recommend our bus service than our non-Hispanic customers are. Okay? Let me go on to the next slide, which gives just a little bit more information about the overall bus system. And obviously, on-time performance is a big issue with bus. And we asked our customers to what extent did they receive on-time performance on their most recent bus trip, and 76% of our customers noted that the bus was on time. We have quite high numbers in terms of cleanliness of bus and also cleanliness of bus stop. Cleanliness of bus would be somewhat understandable because we do have a lot of brand new buses in our fleet. And overall, the cleanliness of the bus and the cleanliness of the bus stop are two of the higher numbers, again, in the transit industry. Cleanliness of bus at MTA in New York City is about 79%, and LA is at 76%. We're at 81%. Okay. And then cleanliness of the bus stop, again, also some of the highest in the industry. LA Metro is at 70%, and then Chicago's is around 68%. So we're doing quite well in terms of cleanliness of the bus stop overall. Okay, next slide. Because this is about customer service, we did ask a set of questions specifically about the interaction or that customers had with the bus operator in this case. And during the focus groups, one of the things that became very clear was that our bus customers didn't expect to have long conversations with the bus operators, but did expect to be acknowledged when they walked on the bus. So a greeting, a good morning, a hi, how are you, something like that, which I think, quite frankly, is fair enough. And so we asked customers, you know, to what extent did the bus operator greet or acknowledge you when you got on the bus? And 75% of our customers said, in fact, the bus operator did greet or acknowledge them upon their entrance. And regardless of whether they were greeted or acknowledged when they showed up, the customers were asked, to what extent do you think that the bus driver would have been approachable if you would have had a question to ask them? Because we want to make sure that our bus operators do appear to be open and willing to and available to ask questions if needed. And 83% of our customers said that they did feel that the bus operator would have been approachable if they would have had a question to ask. So there was a minority of customers who had further interaction with the bus driver, and the vast majority of these were asking questions about fares or directions or something along those lines. And about 10% of the customers from this sample did have a further interaction with the customer. And among those, 62% of the customers said the bus driver met their expectation, which is just about under two-thirds. And only about 15% said that the bus driver or bus operator did not meet their expectation. So overall, pretty strong numbers for bus. And all of these numbers that I presented today are pretty much on par with the other large transit industries. So because this is our very first quarter of collecting data for the bus operators, this will become our baseline that we start with, and then moving forward, we'll start to see some trending patterns over time and see if things increase or decrease. We'll watch that. Okay, so let's move on to rail service. And I'm going to start with just saying that overall, the rail service, as you well know, is far more complex system than our bus system. So the bar is a little bit higher for bus to please, or sorry, for rail to provide good service than our bus. At the same time, we would expect to see numbers that are at least comparable in the industry for the different items that we are going to be surveying. So the same three items were asked of our rail customers as were asked of our bus customers. Overall, we have fairly high satisfaction, about 80% with the rail service, but the overall reliability score is what I would consider more average. It's about 65%. And then the likelihood to recommend, 79% is about where the bus number was for a total index score of 77, which means nothing now, but will be as we go forward. Again, we'll be trending this over time. Some of the demographic differences that I will point out is that Hispanic riders on our rail system do believe the reliability to be significantly lower than our non-Hispanic riders. And on our rail system, it's actually our commuters who are significantly less likely than our non-commuters to recommend the rail system to their friends. There are just a few geographic differences of note that I'm going to point out. And these are a little sketchy because our sample sizes get a little low, but I think they're significant enough that we can take a look at them, but we'll just kind of watch this over time. Overall, the red and orange line riders were significantly more likely to rate reliability lower compared to the yellow, blue, and green line riders. And then overall, back to that reliability score, that is significant. That 65% is significantly less than the other large transit property who asked this question. And among the ones that I checked, I only saw New York's MTA ask a reliability question, and they were at 84%. So we do have a little ways to go in terms of our reliability perceptions among our customers. And I'm going to leave that perception for a minute because we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Okay, so on the next slide, so if our customers are believing or perceiving that our reliability is so low, what's behind that number? And let's see if we can understand a little bit better about what's going on there. And as you can see, we asked customers what they expected their trip to be and then what their actual trip was. And the difference was only about 3 minutes. But I think what's more interesting is that if you actually drill down into the numbers that they gave us, 80% of the people that we asked said the actual and the expected were exactly the same. So what this tells me is that reliability isn't necessarily tied to the difference between what you expected the trip to be and what the actual trip was. And in fact, we ran some regressions to take a look at that. And there are the drivers of rail reliability overall were, first, there was some on-time performance, but it was also security on the system. And it also turned out that the smoothness of the ride, which is the last item listed there, kind of that herky-jerkiness that you might feel, is also highly correlated to reliability of the ride. So when we're thinking about, you know, what drives reliability, it's not solely the on-time performance. It's some of the other things that are going on in the system as well. And again, this was the ride that we chose for them, not, you know, the ride that they chose, which sometimes aggravates people on the phone. They want to tell us about their worst experience and so forth, but that's not necessarily representative. We want to be able to choose for them, which is a random decision, in order that we can then project to the population at large. Some of the high points on the rail system, again, have to do with cleanliness, which is somewhat, I think, WMATA and Metro's brand. We're known kind of as a clean system for people who come to visit us. And indeed, cleanliness in the station and the climate control in the station were also some of the highest in the large transit industry as well. What wasn't as high is the cleanliness on the train itself. And that's not a big surprise. We have some very old rail cars that are in the system at this time, hoping that that number will improve significantly when our brand new cars come online, I guess I can say next year now. And then we take some of those 1,000 series out of service. Okay. So moving on to in-system communication. Overall, customers did feel, about 74% of customers said that the PIDs were fairly accurate. We asked a couple of questions about the non-electronic signage that tells you kind of which exit and so forth. And overall, only about 38% of the people that we spoke to said that they even used those signs. I think we have a lot of commuters who probably don't even, they just wrote, you know, this is the way I go, and so I'm not necessarily watching. But among those people who did say they used the signs, 77, or about 8 out of 10, reported that they were fairly helpful for them. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it's the signs that say it's coming in 5 minutes, it'll be there in 10 minutes, and so forth. Passenger information display system. Thank you. Sorry if I get too jargony, please let me know. And then the second part of the slide talks about the rail announcements and the bus announcements, which we clearly continue to struggle with. Overall, on the rail system, 44% of the customers said that they heard and understood the announcements, which is significantly less than half of our customers. 33% said that they heard something, but they didn't understand what was being said. And in the cars, that was 33%. In the station, it was 27% who said that they heard, but they didn't understand. On the bus, it's a little bit better, but still, only 57% saying they heard and understood is not really where we want that number to be either. 11% said they heard, but they didn't understand. And the rest of the customers, for the most part, said they didn't hear anything. So, you know, we have a little bit of the issue of the same messages being played over and over, and so it just turns into white noise and people aren't even listening to what we're saying. Let's see. I guess there's nothing else on this slide. Oh, also, to be honest with you, the announcements and the information there also plays into the reliability issue. Also is a driver of reliability. Okay, the last slide on rail is on station managers. And people are not expecting interactions here, as in the bus they expect to be acknowledged, not necessarily the case with the station managers. But we do want to make sure that our station managers would be approachable. And there's actually a disappointing number is what I'd say, with only 69% of our customers saying that they felt that the station managers were approachable is not really where we want that to be. And in fact, that is one of the lowest numbers in the large transit industry, so to speak, among our sister agencies. In addition, 16% of our customers that we spoke to over the phone said that they did have an additional interaction with the station manager, and the vast majority of those had to do with smart trip cards or, you know, something not working that they had to go and then talk to the station manager. And among those, only 59% said the station manager met their expectation, but a full one quarter of those people said that the station manager did not meet their expectations. So we clearly have some service issues that we need to work on with our station managers, and I don't think that's that's something that we continue to struggle with. Okay, I think that's it on this page. Okay, so my last slide on our fixed route system has to do with security, which is one of the higher points. Regardless if we're talking about the bus or the train system or in station or on the rail cars or at the bus stops, people overall really did feel, our passengers really did feel that we had a safe and secure system. And this probably is something that we're most proud of, to see these numbers. These are some of the highest in the transit industry. I checked all the different properties. And these numbers are the highest, if on par, if not the highest, that I saw. The one area that does lag a little bit behind is the parking lot security, but I was unable to find a comparable other transit property in the U.S. that was rating. So I don't know if 69 is high or low for parking lot security, but it clearly is lower than the in-station and on the bus system numbers that we asked about. Okay, so I want to switch now to just give you an overview of Metro Access, and I will point out one acronym that I use. MAX is the Metro Access Service. And so whereas before we were doing a random digit dial, what's called a random digit dial, to get a hold of customers on the both the rail and the bus service, let me take a step back. So for the fixed route system, the way we get a hold of the people who answered that survey is you randomly choose numbers in based on exchanges, and you actually buy a sample from a sample company. There's companies that sell you sample, and they randomly choose numbers and then give you a sample. And you call them, and the criteria in order to participate in this survey is that you had to have ridden either the bus or the rail system in the last 30 days. And so if you had not, then we just thanked them and hung up, okay? Because we wanted to make sure that they had a recent experience on our system. And the randomness of choosing people means that it's projectionable to our customer base. Because, as you know, we have a very diverse population of customers with all sorts of experiences. We need to choose a very random sample that we can then say, this is actually representative of our customer base. And so we go to extreme lengths in order to make sure that the group that we pull is a random selection. Okay, and so that is for the bus and the rail system. Metro Access is done a little differently because we do have a database of those customers who rode Metro Access. So I can't just randomly call people because not everybody takes Metro Access. So we take our database and we randomly, same methodology, we randomly choose people and we ask them if they've taken a Metro Access ride in the last 30 days. And if they have, then they qualify. If they say, no, I haven't taken a ride, then we, you know, thank them for their time and hang up. But we want to, again, make sure that they are recent riders of our system before we ask them questions about the experiences that they've had. So there is a series of what I call attributes that we ask people about on the latest, again, their latest ride that they took on the Metro Access system. And as you can see, there are some very high numbers among the Metro Access community specifically on safety. Some of the very highest numbers were on safety, which is, again, makes us very proud because it's something that we've been working on for a long time. But in addition, very high numbers in terms of the courtesy of the driver and how helpful the driver was. So even the lowest number here is 85% of customers gave top two box, which is the question actually asked, thinking about your most recent trip, please rate how satisfied you were with each of these different attributes. Even the lowest numbers here were at 85%. So very high numbers on Metro Access in terms of the performance that our Metro Access customers were given. The next slide is something that I've learned. I've been working in research for about 25 years now. And in the service industry, and I don't care what service you're providing, if you're going to Macy's and someone's coming and talking to you or whatever the service is. And the bottom line is that we're a service provider. And whenever you're providing a service, your customers expect problems to happen. That's just a given. There will be problems. And overall, the issue about that problem has to do not necessarily with how you resolve that problem, but if you tried your best to help me out when that problem occurred. There's something about that question that highly correlates to satisfaction and likelihood to recommend and loyalty and all those different items. And so whenever I'm asking a series about problem occurrence, I will ask, you know, what percentage of you had a problem? And you can see that on the Metro Access, there are several problems that occurred. 40% of the people who we talked to said that they had a problem in the last 60 days, in the last 6 months, which is pretty high. However, we also followed that up with, to what extent did Metro Access try their best to help you out when that problem occurred? And 91% of the customers said yes, in fact, Metro Access did try. And in the Metro Access world, the vast majority of the problems had to do with timeliness, or the Metro Access vehicle being late, not being on time, and so forth. And what happens when that occurs is that the Metro Access customers can call, there's like a hotline that they can call and say, okay, where's my van, what's going on? And it's a much more kind of one-on-one interaction that they have with the call center to find out what's going on. And it's very heartening to see that when they did that, they did feel that the person at the other end of the line really did try their best to help them out during this situation. Okay. And then I think my final slide for Metro Access, and I'm sorry about the printout. I know some of the words didn't show up, and we had various versions of this. The overall satisfaction of Metro Access customers is about 62%. I'm not a huge fan of customer satisfaction itself asking that question, because a lot of the research shows that actually a question of how satisfied were you with a ride or with something doesn't necessarily tie to things like reliability or performance or some of the things that I feel are much more important. But a lot of people like overall satisfaction questions, and so I always ask it, and I give you the results here. The one part of overall satisfaction that I do like a lot is the information that we get out of dissatisfaction, because I think if people tell us why they're dissatisfied, that gives us a lot more information than if they just tell us why they're satisfied. Quite frankly, I'm not really concerned if you're satisfied. I want to know if we provided a reliable service to you and some other very specific things about performance. So I show this slide because I think it's important to take a look at the top items of dissatisfaction for our Metro Access customers. And again, it's the same issue around timeliness. They didn't show up on time, or they were late, I had to wait too long, those kinds of things. So with that, oh, I guess I have one last slide to just give you a brief kind of update about our next steps. So we're in the process of developing some KPIs, which are key performance indicators that we're going to put up on our website, and so that our customers can continue to track these over time. As I mentioned, we'll be doing this on a quarterly basis, and we'll be wrapping this into the Vital Signs Report. I don't know if you guys know about that. But that has the other performance indicators that talk about very mechanical stuff. 5 trains were late, the buses were on time this many times, and so forth. I'm going to provide the customer perception of all the very specific kind of nitty and gritty operational stuff. Rattlin Bus have all this information, and they both are working on customer service action plans and programs to work on customer service overall. Metro Access, I'm not sure if all of you know, they have a new contract. They contract out their work with a vendor, and they have a brand new contract that's coming up, and that's going to be awarded very soon, and it'll start this summer. And part of that new contract with the new vendor will include some customer components and hopefully the measurement that we've got here. And then finally, I'll be back to update the board in this year, 2013, now that we're here, on how we're doing, and start watching some of the points go up and down. So all I've provided today is just baseline data. It's going to start getting interesting when we see what happens over time. So with that, I will... Am I opening up for questions?
I'm opening up for comments.
And then I'm opening up for questions.
Okay. We're doing first... Okay, you have comments up to 2 minutes, so this is, we're just going to take, what, one, two people? Okay, three? Okay. If, come on, you have 2 minutes per comment.
I appreciate that some of your numbers are probably on the sunnier side, so forgive me if I bring a little doom and gloom.
The bus fare box working 85% of the time, I think that's fairly accurate. I do hear a lot on Twitter that the bus fare boxes aren't working. That's 15% or 7 in 100 bus riders whose fares aren't being collected. And I think in a system where every dollar counts, that is actually a very big problem. The rail average overall reliability score, 1 in 6 people find rail to not be reliable. And if Metro is trying to fit 100 people per rail car in a 6-car train, that's 210 people who think that service is not reliable. So, again, forgive me if I kind of flip some of your numbers, but this is what I see every day on Twitter. The accuracy of the PIDs, 74%. I think the biggest way to fix that would be to turn them off on the weekends. Whenever they're single tracking, the information on there is not accurate. That may be affecting that score as well. Again, the average expected rail trip time may be high because people have just come to expect your rail trip to take forever because of one problem or another. So to speak to that number. Rail announcements, 33% heard, did not understand. It was my understanding, I guess, at the beginning of last year, we were going to get more professional voices to do our announcements in station. And I don't really see that that's happened. And I think that may help to improve that score. And finally, the parking lot security score of 69%. The feedback on Twitter seems to be a lot of that revolving around lighting. I think if we really focus on improving lighting in the parking garages, then that would help. And also, you may compare that score to malls or other larger parking lots around the area. Thank you.
Just a couple methodology concerns here. The idea of likely to recommend being an indicator of much seems kind of outdated, especially if you're reliant on transit to get around. It doesn't really matter if you're going to recommend it or not because you have to take it or just not go anywhere. And that, in turn, might be an interesting indicator itself, whether you gave up on a trip because your only option was to take Metro on a weekend. As well, 800 seems like an awfully small sample for a system with 1.2 million daily riders. I mean, I'm no statistician, but did the sample size include cell-only customers? How many intermodal commuters did it include, and how were they handled in it? If you had to take a bus to a train or a bus to a train to a bus, how did it account for that? And if only one leg of the three legs was inadequate, how was that accounted for? As well, there are obviously the double-blind method that you've described has some merit to it. At the same time, the fact that people want to tell you about their worst ride and that most people have a worst ride, I think, is probably an indicator unto itself. Sure, you might have had a couple breezy commutes, but that one day when there was an absolute red line meltdown and you were stuck on that for half an hour or trapped in a tunnel for 40 minutes, those are probably more important to me, the fact that you even have those problems in the first place. Not to mention that comparing ourselves to other agencies and, for instance, security being at 85%, even though that matches another system, that probably is not a great sign. I mean, why are we just trying to be as good as everyone else? Shouldn't we be trying for 100%, not just to match industry indicators? We can be a lot better, and we should be a lot better. And I think these numbers reflect the shortcomings of WMATA, but we can fix them.
I'd like to comment about the station managers. I want to know if there's a program or training that they have to do, if they've been reprimanded or a customer has complained about them, or many customers have. I find the courteousness at 75% a little high. I've seen some great managers help tourists out. I've also seen them just with disgust have to come out of that little shell, that little box that they're sitting up in. I think if you take that glass away and leave open air, you see a big improvement in their attitude and their reliability. There needs to be punishment for rude station managers. They're the frontline people, and I'd like to hear what you guys are doing to improve their attitudes and their work placement. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, for our newcomers, if you have any questions for our speaker, please use your name card and just flip it, and we'll go around if you... So, yeah, very, very high tech, right? So let's start with Carl, and we'll go around. If you have any questions, again, please use your name card.
I think this is very helpful. I think it identifies a lot of shortcomings and places to improve. This last slide on overall satisfaction, when you listed the reasons for dissatisfaction, I didn't see a similar slide for rail or bus. Is that something that you would be able to provide? I think it would help us provide some focus for what we should work on and what the top shortcomings are. I mean, there are a lot of issues that stood out, jumped out, that you had mentioned regarding announcements or parking lot security and that sort of thing. But is that something that would be possible to get?
I could add that. It's an open-ended question, which mm-hmm. adds time to the survey. And because my bus and rail survey is so long, mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of things I need to run people through, police interactions and call center interactions and so forth, I'm trying to keep my open-endeds to a minimum. But we do have a little bit of time, and I could add that to the survey. But on the Metro Access survey, it's, you know, tell me why you were
right.
Kind of a thing, which I could add to this one.
From my perspective, I think that would be helpful. I think this is an incredibly helpful slide, this last one, and having that similar thing. The other short question I had was related to comparing within the industry. Are the questions you ask standard within industry, or are they just similar topics and that's how you're able to compare?
Both. Okay. Some of them are standard in the industry. Everybody asks about safety. Everyone asks about, many talk about reliability. And.
But I mean like the wording and that sort of thing.
Both.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily take exactly some of the wording because I think I wanted to create something that was more standard for us, that was more specific to our system. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily like all the other wording that I saw. So I didn't go to exactly copy it, I guess, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that was.
Okay.
Just because you guys compare apples to apples with, you know, at the beginning with compared to other transit agencies. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was curious. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for your work on this survey. I find some of this material to be very interesting, particularly with the buses, in terms of the high satisfaction, in terms of the buses being clean and the buses, the cleanliness of the bus, 81%, and the cleanliness of the bus stop, 74%. And I have made this comment in this in these meetings before about bus operators. When you say that they are 75% say they are, 83% say they are approachable, and they greet you when you come on board. I was kind of wow, gee, I didn't know that. And I'm not being critical. I just find it very interesting because, as I have said in these meetings before, I've seen some very rude bus drivers, very rude, unapproachable, and I've even recommended that they take customer service classes, so and Metro pay for that, by the way. So I just find this very interesting survey. Thank you.
First and foremost, I want to say thank you for bringing your 20 plus years of customer service satisfaction experience here to Metro. To me, that's a start to get us where we need to be. I just had two items. I was really happy with the Metro Access survey, and I'm not a survey specialist. I think that it brought out, gave us a better picture of what the customers are feeling versus the other survey, like the public speaker said that the numbers may have been too low. My question to you, is there someone, because you said that you had a database to pull those numbers from, is there some way that we can get some kind of database, that Metro could get a database or someone started so that we can get more real numbers on what needs to be done to improve Metro's customer service? And again, thank you for your experience.
You mean on the rail and the bus?
On the rail and the bus side.
You can. We definitely could. Mm-hmm. It's called a panel survey. We could gather people together and ask them. I particularly don't like it for this type of survey, and the reason is because we end up talking to the same people over and over again. I would rather choose a random sample of new people every single time.
And this is my last question. You've not done the panel survey for Metro, right?
I have not.
Would it be possible to do the panel survey and the one that you're doing now and do a comparative analysis and see what the results would be?
We would have to set up a panel. It would be kind of expensive to do that.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for your presentation. Appreciate it. As many people around here know, I work for a Catholic agency that seeks to improve life in the Catholic Church, which is an institution probably more beleaguered by its members than Metro is by its riders. I want to make a comparison. An interesting thing came up about a year ago. A bishop decided to have exit interviews with people in his diocese who were leaving the church. And I was thinking of that as we were listening to these results, because while there is positive information in here from people who are satisfied with Metro, I wonder about the people who are dissatisfied and who have left the system. If there's any way of doing a survey of them and as to why they left the system. And I raise that because I think of myself primarily as a bus rider out in the suburbs. And I would say I agree with a lot of the positive results for bus service. But two questions that constantly beleaguer me and the people that I know are, you know, the headways are unsatisfactory and cause people to leave the system. And the routes. The routes don't go to where people need to go. And so they leave the system as well. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm concerned about, is there a way of getting to the people who have already left? You know?
Yep. And there is. We could run a survey. It would be kind of expensive because we'd have to randomly call around and ask people, did you used to use Metro, but you no longer use it, and like search to find those people. I've run across a bunch of those people in some of the focus groups I've done, and it's exactly the kinds of things that you're talking about. They've left because either they moved and the service no longer, you know, works for them, or they now have a new job and it doesn't work for them anymore, or the headways are it's cheaper for them to take their car, cheaper, faster. And so those were kind of the main things that I heard from the focus groups, but I would have to run a whole study and an exit survey to do something like that. But I've done exit surveys before, and that's an interesting idea. Thanks for bringing that up.
And I want to thank you as well for being here. But I wanted to ask, who did you share your findings with, and what was the reaction? Because in a customer service situation, these numbers would be unacceptable, especially for things that are within your control. I mean, bus operator greeting people, 75%, that would be unacceptable. I mean, you see the people coming directly at you. What else are you saying? Are you just looking ahead and not even looking at them? How can you not acknowledge someone getting on your bus? That's outrageous, 75%. And the other, for the reliability, you know, 65%. In other words, with their outrage at your findings, did somebody just say, okay, we're going to do something, especially quick fixes like the bus operators and the station managers?
What I will tell you is that both bus and rail currently now have customer service training programs underway. Bus started
I want to say 2 months ago-ish. I think November they just kicked it off. So I don't even think they've had 500 bus operators go through it. But their plan is to all bus operators not only will go through it, but it'll be incorporated into the new bus training as bus operators come on board. And on the rail side, they also have a rail station manager customer service program that's been underway a little bit longer since maybe September. And their plan is to have all their station managers trained probably by the end of this year as well. I believe so. Yeah, on rail. There's a lot more bus operators than there are station managers, so that'll take a little while.
Yeah, thank you very much as well for coming out here tonight. I know it's late, but it's much appreciated. This is very helpful information. I'd just like to, I appreciate the statistical work that went into the collection of this data, but I really would just like to express on some level that the data collected here, and in particular, not necessarily the data, but the conclusions which you're drawing from the data are really pretty wildly out of step with what I've found is the experience of regular riders, and that's something that should be expressed. And I think that maybe one of those reasons is that you're not measuring dissatisfaction for regular riders, which is important, I think. I know you mentioned that you don't like to do that, but I do think that that's really important because we need to know why people are unhappy with what's going on in the metro. I also wonder, you mentioned that you've been collecting data, but you haven't been able to compare it because you just started collecting it now. And there's a couple issues with that. The biggest one is, well, you're still comparing to similar, not the same, but similar surveys that you've taken or have been taken of other rail systems around the country, I'm assuming, not necessarily worldwide. I don't know if I'm correct in that.
Right, around the country.
I'm sure that something similar could be done with data that has been taken in the past in Metro, and I think that would perhaps be extremely helpful because we need to start recognizing that there's downward trends, and perhaps, you know, you can do the same kind of broad look at data that already exists and has been taken. And to that end, just one more quick point. You know, these satisfaction percentages are low. They're low. And, you know, they might be okay as compared to other systems in the United States, but I think one member of the public mentioned that in the UK, in London, there's a 98.6% satisfaction rating with the tube. Those are numbers that we should be shooting for, not 70%, not 85%, 95%, 98%. So when we make conclusions based on this data of there's high satisfaction, well, that might be true on some level. But if you turn the data even just a little bit and look at it, you know, just a little bit differently, there's real issues here. And I think that's the way we need to be analyzing this, because otherwise it's just putting your head in the sand regarding the issues. That's all. Thank you very much.
Can I go back? I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't answer your question of who I presented this data to. I presented it to the executive leadership team. I presented it to the board of WMATA, and the Metro Access stuff we presented at the Accessibility Committee for each of those. So everyone. The Metro Access, I don't think they were alarmed. I think they were, I mean, again, at this point, it's a baseline piece of information, and I think everyone is interested to see going forward how things change or not. Because really the only comparison I can do at this point is to the other large transit properties.
Thank you. Kara?
Hi. Thanks again for joining us. And I think it's safe to assume that you are shooting for higher numbers as well, that I don't want you to think that any of us are angry at you personally, because I think it's quite obvious that everyone wants higher numbers or as high as possible. I was curious, were there some expectations set by Metro prior to doing the surveys, like something that, like numbers that were estimated or expected to and how they measured up? Because obviously you compare them to the other places, but I was curious if maybe you guys were comparing them to your expectations prior to taking the surveys. Also, so you said the surveys will be repeated. I'm just curious how often. I think I saw it was like every twice a year. Was that, I saw a graph and it had quarters. And then my last question is, how long does each survey take? That's not necessarily very important, but I think it's good for us to all know the effort that goes into these surveys. And I know we want as much information as broad as possible, but it is very time consuming and it takes staff and money. And so I'm just curious. Thank you.
So time consuming in terms of like a survey respondent takes 17 minutes, the survey itself. But I don't know if that was your question. When I call somebody, 17 minutes on the phone. The Metro Access survey is 10 minutes. The surveys are conducted quarterly for the bus and rail system. On the Metro Access survey, it's done twice a year. There's actually a second Metro Access survey that's conducted on a quarterly basis that we call the knowledge and usage study, and that's a whole kind of different animal. But essentially, it asks customers about what they know about the Metro Access system because it's a fairly complicated system, and Metro Access is very interested in making sure that our customers understand all the nuances of the system itself. So we spend a lot of time talking about kind of education of the Metro Access customers so that it's very clear. I mean, things like pricing and stuff are very complicated on Metro Access. So that knowledge and usage study, getting a little off base, is done four times a year. The customer satisfaction survey, which is more straightforward, is done twice a year on Metro Access. Bus and rail, four times a year. And then your last question was? At this point, the answer is no. It's a brand new survey that everyone's kind of getting their feet wet with and trying to understand. I do know, and I am pushing extremely hard, for this to be incorporated actually in the new Metro Access contract, and so that we can hold the vendor's feet to the fire and make sure that they maintain a certain level of customer, I don't know if they want to use satisfaction, if they want to use reliability, any one of those indicators, but I really want them to kind of hold their feet to the fire on that and make sure that the provider for Metro Access is able to use that. On our side, I do not, again, it's fairly new, but in my 20 years of being in the industry, it takes people a little while, a couple of quarters, to come to understand that these are actually numbers that they can use to start holding people's feet to the fire. So as of today, the answer is no, but I would not be surprised if over time, the general manager does start to have some of those conversations with the various organizations here at Metro.
So don't go anywhere because we don't want somebody else to come in and change it. We want to have those comparisons. It's really important we get this information, so I really appreciate that you've provided it to us. We need this to understand what the customers are saying as a whole. I have a very few very specific questions, so I think they'll be quick. When you talked about average reliability scores, was that a subjective, how reliable is it, or was it something more tangible?
I'm going to just read to you the question
okay.
that we ask.
If it's not 17 minutes, sure.
It is not 17 minutes.
Thank you.
Using a scale from 5 to where 5 means very reliable and
okay.
1 means very unreliable, how reliable was the trip? I actually grabbed the wrong
one. So the reliability, it was a subjective. It wasn't said
yes.
reliable like on time mm-hmm. or reliable. It was a very specific, okay.
You did specifically ask on time. That's a different question, though.
Right, okay. Yep. And then on the rail trips, because of your random process, should I assume that it was a combination of, it could have been a weekday trip, it could have been a weekend trip, it's just, that's a combination
yep.
of those.
We classified people's trips as to whether it's morning, noon, or night, or weekend. Actually specified Saturday or Sunday as well. And then again, we randomly chose trips based on the number of riders for each of those time periods.
But when you show numbers, it's for the mix.
Yes.
Like a 33 minute or whatever.
Yes,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talked about the rail trip, was that for the inside the car time or on the platform, or how did you ask, is it rail trip for the experience in the station to station or in the ride on the rail? I'm curious.
The question asked, what was the length of the trip from boarding the system to time you exited the system?
Okay. Boarding the system. Does that mean like boarding the train, you mean, or boarding the station?
We walked into the station.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Then left our station.
Okay. Thank you. And did you either ask for or did you get any feedback about the station managers not being visible?
We did not ask about their visibility.
Just whether they were courteous or not, or that the things that you reported here.
Correct.
Great. Okay. And
let me just throw in that I asked that question on a different survey, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Next would be
a couple more, I think, clarification questions. There is or was a hard copy customer use or something survey that people taking Metro would get and throw in a box at the end of the trip. Is this a replacement or is that an addition or what?
That was a what's called an origin destination survey mm-hmm. that we do to monitor trips. So that wasn't about your experience at all. It just literally asked, where did you start? Where did you finish? Did you transfer? Where do you live? Because the reality is that some of that information goes towards jurisdictional allocation of monies.
Okay. Question going into a bit of the reliability question, satisfaction. Did you get into anything specific around, you know, escalators, elevator outages, or capacity issues? Because at least in my mind around how well the trip went, if you're getting pushed off the platform, you might have a different perspective than not. Or if the escalator was not working and you had to walk down or walk up, which changes so often, those kinds of things could impact a trip.
Yep.
And with dissatisfaction, yep, might be interesting to know.
I am with you on the crowdedness. I think I did ask something on crowdedness. I'd have to go back and look.
Okay.
I did not ask about escalators and elevators because it's well known whether our escalators or elevators are out of service or not.
But it isn't.
For customers, right. On our side, the operations can tell me exactly when something is running and when it's not. And what happened with this survey is because I didn't know how long it would take, mm-hmm, it was my first cut at it. I can now start adding things into it,
okay,
now that I realize I have two more minutes that I can add. So like an open-ended question on dissatisfaction, mm-hmm, or, you know, questions about escalators and elevators.
The question about the escalator is they're just turned off at certain times. That's at least as a customer, is absolutely unpredictable. Not getting fixed, they just aren't running. And I don't know how you keep track of that. You would know that.
Mm-hmm.
Another question is around, I'm assuming you have more specific recommendations other than the next steps you showed us. It's a more analysis. There may be some things in the future that, as you go forward, would end up being better to talk about.
Yep. I have a scorecard for each of the individual departments. Bus has a separate one, rail has one, police has one, and communications has one that specifically goes into all the information that I have regarding their department specifically, because, you know, bus doesn't need to see rail and so forth. And it's a separate report for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We're several agenda items behind, so I'm just going to make a couple quick points. First of all, again, thanks for coming. This is the first time I've ever seen someone with a title of customer service here at the RAC meeting. I would hope that either you or someone from your staff would continue to attend our meetings. We're basically a built-in focus group for you, and we're free, where we work for cookies and carrots and various other things that John brings. So please, I hope you would feel free to use us or a portion of this group, and we're also representative of all of the jurisdictions as well. So I hope you'll take advantage of us as a body a little more. On the trip planning piece, I noticed that you didn't take any information on the apps that people use, on the text message service, on the voice response system. I'll note that the apps, the Next Bus app went down, for example. Not WMATA's fault, I know, but at the same time, people rely on it. I use the text service all the time. The voice response system is awful. I'd probably get a zero response rating from me. Just putting that out there. In terms of the overall satisfaction, I think it's difficult for us, for anybody really, to characterize their overall satisfaction because it's so variable. And I hope that maybe in future surveys you'll be able to look at things like track work, irregularities, you know, breakdowns in the system, and try and gauge how that plays into people's satisfaction, whether through an open-ended question or another question. I think there are various ways of tackling that, but it seems like in this survey you didn't really look at that piece of the pie, which is really important for a lot of riders. And in terms of the questions to ask, I think you are asking better questions, but I want to encourage you to, I just want to echo what Frank said and also some of the members of the public as well, about three questions that I'd like you to ask are, did the bus/train come often enough? Does it go where you need to go? And I think another question would be, is Metro bus, rail, Metro access sufficient to allow for a car-free lifestyle?
Thank you for coming. I have a concern, a deep concern, that about what was left out as opposed to what was sampled or surveyed, specifically the escalators, elevator situation. Specifically, I have a problem with the most likely to recommend brand loyalty analogy, because it's just like I just returned from a trip and I got a, you know, Marriott said, you know, how likely are you to recommend? Well, I can stay at a Marriott or Holiday Inn or Hyatt, et cetera. Metro's the only game in town. So I think it's not realistic, I think, to compare the two. And my question is, are you going to share this? Do you have plans to share this survey with the public, or has there been any sharing of the survey results outside of WMATA?
It's going to be posted on the website, our website, along with the vital signs report that we have. It'll be a component of that.
Okay, because I think there's going to be a lot of skepticism and a lot of consternation, because the statistics do not comport with what we hear on a daily basis. And while I recognize that people are more likely to complain than to call up and say, oh, what a wonderful trip, there's still a big disconnect there.
Sheree. That's okay. Hyphenated name. Again, thank you for coming. And my current concern is the way the survey was administered. Fortunately, I wasn't, well, not fortunately, but I was randomly selected for the Metro and the Metro bus. So I did both, but I had two different experiences. When I did the Metro bus survey, I was on the 92 in Anacostia. And you have your employees, they're handing out the surveys, and we drop them back in the box, or you can mail that one back in. I think it was the destination survey. And I returned mine on my trip. I go from the 92 to Adams Morgan, and the bus driver told me, he said, you know, you're the only one who has filled out this survey all day long for me. And I said, well, look, you're losing a lot of people, you're losing a lot of voices. You're in an area where there's low literacy, and so you need to add another element into where you administer this survey, and that maybe you have field interviewers, that you have people that who can actually randomly select. There are people that who are trained to do this. I used to be a field interviewer, and orally administer the survey to those folk who live in those areas who aren't inclined to take 17 minutes to write it down. Because when I saw satisfaction with bus stop 80%, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they asked, was there a posted legible schedule at the bus stop? You know, because that would take away from the satisfaction for me. I live on the D8 line. My bus schedule is from 2009. And so that takes away from the satisfaction of me being at that bus stop. I'm not happy that I don't have a schedule and I don't know where the bus is coming. I don't have a smartphone. I'm not going to call, you know, the next bus number, or snap a picture, or some, you know, googly lines to get that information. So I would ask that when you do this again, to take another element or have trained interviewers do it, because my second problem is at the Metro station, and the employees were handing them out. I thought you said, like, are they trained to say every seventh person, every third person? When you're randomly selecting, at the end of the day,
is that station going to get 400 people, you know, to survey? These guys were like just throwing stuff around. When I got up to the station as well on Avenue, all the surveys are everywhere, all on the floor, all on the, the train platforms. So we have no way of doing that. But I think the biggest thing is that you should add oral interviews, have people to orally administer the survey to certain sections of the city. Thank you.
I know that we're way over, but no, I wanted to know if we could make a motion to table certain agenda items because we have approved the agenda because we're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and move down to some, right. And I mean, if that's an option, because we've already approved the agenda, Robert's rule will enable us to table this. And I think what has happened is that this customer service presentation has hit home. And I'd like to motion that we table items 7, 8, 9, and 10 and jump to 11. They're all important, but we need to take care of this so that we'll be in compliance at the next meeting.
Does anybody second?
All in favor? Aye.
I mean, can I ask a point of clarification? You're proposing tabling the entire rest of the meeting when this section is over.
If we don't, we're going to be here to probably 11.
Right, but this, I mean, are you saying we should continue the
We can add it to the next agenda. It's not that we're saying that we can't do it.
No. I'm saying we still have 20 minutes, and this section, this agenda item is done, it looks like.
Right.
So what do you propose to do for
that
the next
we jump
20 minutes?
If we jump to the council elections, that'll give us time to make the elections. It'll give the community an opportunity to make their open mic comments, and then we can adjourn. We might get out of here at 9, but if we leave 7, 8, 9, and 10, we're not going to leave here for a long time. They're all important. Please don't misunderstand me. And, in fact, I believe that because we have a RAC organization and work plan and are proposing any of these committees, this may be something that we might want to include in subcommittees, you know, this area here.
I fully agree that we should include this in subcommittees, and I think the work plan is something that can be pushed off. But if we don't set up subcommittees tonight, we will not be having subcommittees in February planning.
Can we at least move to item 11? And I may have to excuse myself and not be available for the subcommittee planning portion of it.
We still have 20 minutes. I would propose continuing with the agenda and dealing with tabling things when we get to 8:30 or.
I'm sorry, though, point of clarification. Someone made a motion. Someone seconded it, and you voted. And so,
Robert's rule.
No, we seconded. All in favor? There was yes. When I asked, all opposed. Then he asked for a clarification. There was no voting for opposed.
Okay.
I would like to be listed as opposed. I think we have easily 30 minutes. If people are willing to stay a little late to cover these important topics.
So all right, I would like to ask for division.
For the numbers?
For the vote, please.
Okay.
So I would ask that those in favor just raise your hands so I can get it down, please. Nice and high.
Four, okay.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, opposed? Carl, your hands up?
Yeah.
Wait,
You just counted eight. Who am I missing? Frank. Okay, 7-8, motion fails.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. I'd like to move that we move item 11 to the next section and then continue with the rest of the agenda as time permits.
A second.
Okay, all those in favor? Opposed?
Okay.
Okay, so the motion carries?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, I never asked my question. I guess I had some issues. I guess we can, if anybody has additional questions on the customer survey, we can send them to John and he will forward them. So I had some questions on the demographics here. Okay, so we are going now to item 11, correct? Okay. So we're going to the 2013 elections, council elections. We start with electing the chair, then the different vice chairs by jurisdiction. So I call for nominations for each office, and since the first one is for chair, any nominations for chair?
I would like to nominate Ben Ball. It's on. I would like to nominate Ben Ball.
I second it.
Does Ben, do you want to say something? Do you accept the nomination?
Yeah, I'll accept the nomination.
Yay! Okay.
Was there a doubt? yeah, I'll say that I'm sort of a reluctant candidate. I wasn't planning on running. Carl was planning on running, and I was prepared to support Carl in that endeavor. Little did Carl know that various ethicists had different ideas. So Carl was unfortunately disqualified from the running. I thought about it for a while. I thought about it for a whole weekend when people approached me and asked me to run. And I decided sort of not to put a statement out and not nominate myself, just to sort of think about it a little more. So I'm going to give you sort of what I would do as the RAC chair, briefly. The vision I have for the RAC. Yes, briefly, of course. That comes into it. Yes, then we'll look at any other nominations, obviously. Because some of you might not want to vote for me as well, and I understand that. So I'm going to give you some reasons maybe to vote for me and maybe some reasons to vote against me as well. And you can make your own decision. Just general state of things, I think, you know, we all know that ridership is down in WMATA systems. There's an impression that the system is broken, but also there's some promise for the future. The Silver Line's coming on. I think we see some improvements in certain areas, but we also see that WMATA's a little bit isolated from the rider. So I think overall the RAC has a lot to do. You know, we have a full agenda every month, and I think we're going to continue that for a long time to come. And sort of the way that I look at the RAC, what we need to be, where we need to be, is we need to be a little more activist. And I know that that's sort of a bad word for some people, that it implies some form of bomb throwing. So I'll modify it a little bit, and I'll say that we need to be smart activists. We need to be data-driven. We need to be results-oriented. And we need to be smart about how we go about our business and how we talk to WMATA as well.
Yes.
And in terms of what we do here at the meetings, I think we've been very responsive to what WMATA needs, but we've not been very forthcoming about what we need as riders. And I think our voice has been heard in terms of what WMATA has asked us, but we haven't been very forthcoming about asking WMATA what we need. You know, the song goes, what a girl wants, what a girl needs. I think it's what WMATA wants and what WMATA needs. And so far, we've given WMATA what they want, but we haven't given WMATA what they need. And I think that's got to be our focus in the coming year. And to achieve that, I think we need to do a little more balancing of the agenda in terms of what WMATA comes to us with and what we approach WMATA with. I think we have to do a little better amongst ourselves about getting feedback from WMATA and giving feedback to WMATA. I think Kelsey, our previous chair, for those who didn't know, she did an excellent job in terms of building relationships with WMATA as an institution, with individuals within WMATA. I think we need to build on those relationships. I think we need to even nurture those relationships more in the coming year. But I think we also need to insist on more from WMATA. I think we need to ask more staff members to attend. We need to have them be more involved. There needs to be more of an interaction. I feel like sometimes the discussion is one way. Either we're sort of unloading our information and our difficulties on WMATA staff, or they're unloading all their information on us, and we don't get a really productive conversation sometimes. Let's see here. I think we need to use our bully pulpit a little more. I think we need to be a little more active in the community. I think we need to be a little more active in the media in particular, be it Twitter, blogs, the WMATA website itself, our own part of that website, even in the newspapers. I think we need to be a little more out there than we already are. And I think in order to achieve all of this, I think we need to bring a little more discipline to the table. And I think those who have been on the RAC for a while will probably second that. I do know Robert's Rules of Order. I ran Model UN in college. I was the chair of the Student Senate in college. So I know Robert's Rules backward and forward. We trample on Robert's Rules every day. Poor Robert's probably rolling in his grave. I'm assuming he's dead. So before the next meeting, if I am elected chair, we'll do a quick little rundown. I have a little handout that I'll make and I'll bring around for everybody to use. It's very easy to learn, and once you learn, the meetings go much smoother, trust me. I would also enforce a two-minute limit on all speeches that are not WMATA staff. I think we need to hear a little more information from them. We have that wonderful clock right there. We ask the public to maintain their limit at 2 minutes. I think we should only keep ourselves to the same limit. In terms of my experience, I've got 1 year on the RAC, that's it. I know there are a lot of people here who are longer serving on the council, so I will defer to them at certain points for institutional knowledge. Like I said, I know Robert's Rules of Order pretty well. I'm a bureaucrat by profession, so I know exactly how a bureaucracy works, including WMATA, which is more bureaucratic than most. And lastly, I will just say that we're all volunteers here. We're not experts, but we are public servants, and I think we're here to do a public service. So that's how I approach it, and I hope that's the rest how we all approach it as well. Thank you.
Any more nominations? Okay, so we can have a voice vote. Everybody in favor of Ben Ball as our new chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Motion carries. So Ben Ball is our next RAC chair. So the next position would be the vice chair for DC. Nominations?
I would like to nominate for DC vice chair one of the RAC's most distinguished, intelligent, hardworking, passionate, articulate, and insightful members, Carol Carter Walker.
I second.
Anybody second? Patricia seconds. Carol?
I was responsible for leading the group that revised our bylaws. One might wonder why we didn't revise it so we aren't doing elections on the first day of the year. But we did make major changes in our governance under my leadership. I've also been an active member of the budget and service work groups in terms of service adjustments and also the metro budget. And I participated in a significant review and recommendations of the governance of WMATA that took place and was under the Council of Governments in 2010. And I was also active in the second phase of the public participation proposal. If I'm elected as vice chair, one of the things that I'd like to work on is having more follow through. For example, today I think there were three people who spoke, four people who spoke, and I am really committed to seeing that we follow through and make certain that we are responsive to people who take the time and energy to come and speak to us. I would also like to see us be more accessible to the public, maybe by taking our RAC meetings out into the communities. I probably learned more from the meeting that I attended when they were talking about the discontinuation of some bus lines out in Southeast. It was a council public roundtable than I've learned in probably many of the meetings that I've spent here. And I am particularly interested in representing, I think, a demographic that we often don't think about, but I consider myself an active senior. And I need Metro to continue to have a high quality of life. So I'm selfishly interested in doing what I can to pursue that. Thank you.
Okay, any other nominations for DC Vice Chair? No more nominations. So let's do a voice vote. Anybody all in favor?
Aye.
For Carol? Opposed? Nay? Unanimous? Okay, now the next one is the vice chair for Maryland. Any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Mr. James Wright, who is currently vice chair for Maryland, to continue on into 2013 in that particular position.
Anybody second? Okay.
I will be brief. First of all, I want to thank you for the nomination and the seconding. And I really want to work with the Mariners for this system. Mariners put a lot of money into Metro. And a lot of times our voices are not heard as much as they should be. And I like what Ben said in terms of activism. I want to encourage all of us, but particularly those of us who live in Maryland, to be more proactive in terms of WMATA, in terms of engaging the general public. And I'll be happy to work with everybody on that, and particularly the Marylanders. Montgomery County has almost 1 million people, if it doesn't have 1 million people. Prince George's County has a little bit over 800,000 people. So you have a lot of people that we have to work with in terms of this metro system. With all due respect to the District of Columbia, the District of Columbia has 660,000 people. So we put a lot of money into this system, and we need to be heard. And I will work to do that. Thank you.
Okay, any other nominations for Maryland Vice Chair? No? Okay. So, everybody in favor of James?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. James, you are a new Maryland Vice Chair. You have been re-elected. Next, Virginia Vice Chair. Nominations? Ben?
I'll nominate Barbara Hermanson for Virginia Vice Chair.
I'll second.
Second.
Okay. Barbara?
Thanks, Ben, for the vote of confidence. I did send an email out this afternoon. It may have been too late for all of you to catch it, though. So, but I know time is short, and it is honest God truth that what Carl said in his email, what Ben said at his microphone tonight, I am totally behind those concepts. I want us to be an indispensable partner to the board, that they count on us for input and they want our input, and that we get feedback and requests from them I want to be much more relevant and active in doing that, and I'm willing to put in all my available time and creative energies to make it happen. Thank you.
Okay. Any other nominations for Virginia Vice Chair? No? Okay, so let's vote for all in favor of Barbara as aye. Virginia Vice Chair.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? No? Barbara is our new Virginia Vice Chair. Okay, so our new leadership will be Ben Ball as Chair. Carol will be our DC Vice Chair. James Wright will be our Maryland Vice Chair, and Barbara will be our Virginia Vice Chair. Now, let's try to go back at least briefly on the council meeting structure. Carl?
Okay. I'm going to talk fairly quickly because I recognize we're short on time, and ironically, what we're talking about will help solve these problems. Immediately following the presentation on customer service, you will see what I circulated over email. Last month, the RAC voted to add two new subcommittee meeting dates to our process, with members attending two of the three total monthly meetings for the RAC, and the same two for consistency's sake. I outlined a few different issues. There is a specific action for each issue, so I think we can just go down. I'll outline the issue, brief discussion, look at the action, decide on a solution. I think we can get it done in 10 minutes, no more. So the first piece is related to how many subcommittee meeting, we're going to have two subcommittee meeting dates. That is what we voted on, adding two new dates, which we'll discuss later. We need to decide on the number of subcommittees, though. There are a few different ways we can do this. We can have them have a variety of different topics. We can have them based on modes, and that's actually later, too. Maybe we should do that later, then. Is it our folks? Well, we should do, don't you think we should choose like the dates and stuff?
That may also be actually more efficiently done via some kind of online.
Yeah.
Let me, can I make a motion here?
Yeah.
I'm going to move that between now and the next meeting, people email to me and then I will circulate around, of course, or just to the list that John provides, potential topics for the subcommittees. That the leadership team can then peruse, look at, and present to the RAC next meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Wait. Discussion.
Okay. Point of discussion. Frank?
I like that idea, but I think that I think it would be better served if we had the discussion of what the committee should be after we discuss what the council work plan for 2013 is, to see what issues we want to tackle in 2013. I think that would lead more naturally into what the two committees would be. It might not.
Yeah, I
think it could go either way. I mean, I think the work plan could dictate the committees, or the committees could dictate the work plan. It could be the direction there. So that's why I put that motion on the floor, because I think what we're interested in should drive both the committees and the work plan. And I think we'll see that when people sort of chime in. That was my thought anyway.
Marianne.
Just another thought is the next meeting's a month away. If there's any way of having some interaction, if the leadership team has some ideas and can put something out so that there could be at least an electronic back and forth a little bit, at least try it.
We generally communicate electronically during the month when we have issues. So that's a regular, that's a standard operating procedure with this organization. So, any other comments? So the motion was to the subcommittees, or we're voting on the subcommittees, correct?
No, we're voting on providing feedback to the leadership team on subcommittee
issues. On subcommittees, but it's on subcommittees, not on the work plan.
Right, subcommittee issues that will then be presented by the leadership team to the RAC at the next meeting. And I'll sort of add Frank's thing in there, that will also reflect or guide the work plan.
And I would suggest also that we aim for subcommittee meetings in February.
Yes. Amendment accepted.
Okay. Okay, so the motion is that we are going to be doing electronically, we're going to be submitting subjects, possible subjects or issues that we want to have in subcommittees, for subcommittees, okay? So that then from there we can work on the work plan for this year. That is what we're voting on right now. And that those would be submitted to our new leadership, to Ben. That's the vote right now, to send issues, because otherwise we would have to stay here and start working on this right now. Okay. Okay, so all in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed? Frank is a abstentions? No. Okay, so the vote carries. So we will be submitting subjects or issues for subcommittee issues to Ben, or to, we can do it to John.
Either way.
Okay. We will be submitting to.
Okay, so are we moving on to the next agenda item? Are we moving on to the next agenda item? Work plan development?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As noted, or under the council's procedures, and that was actually the intention of that item on the agenda, was to discuss subjects that people would like to, or issues that the people would like the council to take up in 2013, along with some of the issues noted. There's a thing in your packet that says potential 2013 RAC work plan items. I will note that item was open for comments from members of the public. And because the RAC has decided to do a lot of that discussion electronically, I would suggest as your staff person that this might be a time to solicit comments from members of the public on items that they feel might want to be, that they think they might want to suggest to the RAC to include in its work plan, since if this is done electronically, they won't have the opportunity to do that.
Okay, so is there a motion? I mean, the motion you presented, you cannot present the motion, that's correct. Is there? Okay, so we have potential RAC 2013 work plan items in the package. Are there any comments, public comments for?
The only thing I'm going to say, and I think I mentioned this to Carl before, is that so much RAC business does go on electronically, and we've got the RAC comments at WMATA.com email address, but I don't think anyone's ever heard anything back from that. And if somebody, I mean, WMATA is running that mind mixer thing, but if there was a mailing list or a message board or something where members of the public and members of the RAC could, actually you're members of the public too, if there was some place on the internet where we could all mingle and communicate, that would make this go a lot more smoothly in this period between meetings.
Okay.
because honestly, it's late, and I'm sure we all want to get out of here, and there's plenty that should be said about the work plan that's not going to get said in 1 minute and 18 seconds, 1 minute and 16 seconds. So.
What I'd like to suggest, I don't mind giving out my email address if you want to send, if those of you who are here tonight want to send your comments to me, I will make sure that they get out to the rest of the RAC. Would that be something we could? Oh, okay.
There are. I will say that 99% of the email that I get in there is Russian spam. So please.
Oh, okay, so fine.
Okay, so then, okay, you can, comments?
I absolutely love this new RAC. You guys are already awesome. You're feisty. You care, or at least it seems like you care, and I hope you care, and I think we all care. More cake would be good for this year. That's helped me stay. But in reality, I like the idea of having a more adversarial tone with the board. I mean, I know we're chartered by them, but we're the closest thing to something like the Strap Hangers Group in New York or some kind of actual rider advocacy group. And so I think, you know, ask them for things, work with them, but also there's times where you can demand things. I mean, we're all in this together, but you're chartered by them with representing riders, and that requires a certain amount of information, and that requires a certain amount of give and take, and that means getting stuff from them. And I think it sounds like you're all ready to, just to take full advantage of that spirit. And I was looking at your agenda. I like it a lot, talking about off-peak train times, obviously near and dear to my heart. Also, in general, maybe just talking about funding streams and funding mechanisms for the really big long-term capital stuff, like not just buying enough 7,000 series to replace the 1,000 series, but buying enough to go to 75 and 100% 8-car operations, which we have options for, and which would be cheaper if we do it now, but nobody seems to talk about how much things cost and why we can't do them, but also how we can advocate and lobby for more funding from the jurisdictions and whatever is necessary. I mean, a static budget will get you so far. Metro 4, it'll do so much on the weekends and then leave you with little to show for it, it seems. But there is thing to be said for capital investment and a lot of long-term thinking. And I know people are talking about it, but it's, I think if we can just get something concretely rolling on that, that would really brighten my day. So thank you all so much. So looking forward to future months. I guess in that case, funding streams, capital projects, how funding is obtained for that. Also, in general, the contributions from the jurisdiction, dedicated funding streams has always been an issue. The fact that it's all essentially voluntary each year, what each state pays in. So not even re-examining that because there's no real power here, but just getting the board to explain why it's so hard for them to get more money, aside from politics, because that's the excuse for everything.
I thought
we were talking about 2013.
No,
we're talking about 2013 work plan.
Work plan. Sorry. Suggestions.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. So.
So we have decided, I think that we already voted that we're going to be sending either to John or to Ben our subject matters.
Can I make a quick motion?
Okay.
Similar. Since we're obviously not going to plan out everything that we're going to talk about for the
right
entirety
now.
Of 13 right now, I'm going to suggest that we find one topic that we want to talk about next month. And my suggestion, I'm willing to hear others as well, of course, is that we talk about track work.
About what?
Track work. When will it end? Where are we? What's the status? And then we also talk about what Metro wants to talk about, which is what methods can Metro use to better make customers aware of upcoming track work, et cetera. So that's my motion.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor? Yes, Alex.
Thank you.
Okay. Any point? Well, it's Already past 8:30. Anybody discussion or ready to vote? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? Okay, we have Carol and Fred? Okay.
And Kara.
And, oh, and Kara. And one
two abstentions.
Two abstentions.
Who is the two? Philip, you're in second?
Yep.
And
the in favor? In favor.
Just numbers wise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Okay, so since we, did we cover everything now? Yeah. Oh, RAC organization administration.
Nope,
we can.
I'll email you.
Okay, that will be done via email. If anybody has comments or questions on the RAC or AAC chair reports, no.
I'm going to move that we approve those reports.
Okay.
They're
last month.
Oh, already.
There
consider
was,
them
yeah.
approved. All right.
Okay. Open mic. Anybody has any comments, discussions from the. I know this. I have to say that it was too interesting, the customer survey.
I'd just like to say thanks for a great year. I'm leaving the leadership end of the table. I know Lorraine is too. And we really appreciated all your support over the past year.
I want to commend the outgoing leadership team. I think they deserve a round of applause.
Okay, so meeting adjourned at only 15 minutes past. So.
Have another slice of cake.